Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Friday, October 28th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, you're automatically in the chat room. Just scroll down on your computer screen a little bit. You'll see the chat room's automatically opened up, and you're automatically in the chat room, but you're in there as a guest. Click on the Register Now button just below the chat room, and you can register and get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our hobby and passion. A backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices.
visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us. Today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, it is Fun Friday, and it should be a fun Friday as soon as Pat calls in from the Crossroads National Poultry Show, the ABA-APA National Meet, up there in Indianapolis, Indiana. So I saw she called in a little bit ago, and then she must have got a bad cell or got disconnected or had to hang up to get better positioned. So we know she'll be calling in shortly. So it is Fun Friday. Won't be giving away a lot of prizes today. In fact, we had a terrific Tuesday where we gave some prizes away. And we might give us a few prizes away over the weekend on our Facebook page to keep you on your toes. But today still is a Fun Friday. We've made it through another long week together. Thank you very much for staying with us today. And, of course, listening weekdays, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So let me see, get back over here to the switchboard, and yep, it looks like I'm not going to waste any time, other than the fact I will tell you, because you always like to keep you know, updated on what's going on at the old homestead. Yesterday evening, my buddy Lynn Turner pulled into the driveway, and lo and behold, he had our 7 New Zealand rabbits. Our bunnies arrived yesterday evening, so yep, we got 7 of those. We're hoping, if we're lucky, to get 2 good breeder pairs. From those 7 New Zealand rabbits. In a perfect world, out of the 7, I'd love to get, 2 males and 5 females would be ultimate. because I like to put in one male with two females, and then we can separate the females once they get impregnated. So, but those we hope to have these that we have now get into our breeders, if you will, to get started, and then every 31 days, once they get of age, hopefully every 31 days, we'll be having some rabbits, and then we'll raise those, and these are strictly, hey, close your kids' ears, close your kids' ears, these are strictly meat rabbits. They're not going to be pets, they're not going to be named. Some may be named fried, some may be named broiled, some may be named baked, they are strictly the meat chickens. So Jen is a little hesitant to go out and see them and get close to them, except these are going to be our breeders for right now, so we'll see how that pans out. I'm sure she'll warm up to them in a little bit. And then this morning, post office called, ring, ring, ring. Andy, your chickens are here. Great, I'll be down shortly. So we headed down to the good old post office and picked up 100 Cornish cross broilers and brought them back to the old homestead. And we got started absolutely, dipping the beaks in the water, dipping their beaks in the feed, getting them all carried away and situated. And you can see pictures on my personal Facebook page. I'll try to get a link over here into the chat room so you can take a look. So, and again, don't get attached. The only names these chickens will have will be Teriyaki, Pot Pie, Nugget, Fried, Baked, Rotisserie, and maybe Cacciatore. Yep, we're going to put a few of these bad boys in the freezer, and then the rest, hopefully about 80, we're going to be donating to the town where we live. Yep, we're going to raise them. We're going to donate them back to the town. We're going to have hopefully a big barbecue down at the city park, and come and show your city ID to prove that you live here in the little town, and pig out. So it's just our little way of saying thanks to the town for welcoming us so grandly here, and we love it here. Oh yeah, don't forget Nuggets and Fingers and Rotisserie and Fried. Yep, can't forget those chicken fingers. So can't get attached too much to these either. Because we're going to have, they're going to be feeding this town here probably in about, I don't know, 10, 11 weeks, maybe 12. We'll just have to see. So that's what we're going to do. So it's interesting. All these years, the goats, pets, the chickens, pets, the dogs, pets. And then all of a sudden, within 2 days of each other, really within 24 hours, we got nothing here at the phone homestead, the old homestead, except for survival food. So we got the chickens in, and we've got the rabbits in. So we went from having pets for years to now sustainability food. So that's what we've got in the here on the homestead. So other than me, I'll be a busy camper this weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday, is the what we call the Duck Festival here, and it's here in Montezuma, Georgia, and it's actually in remembrance and celebration of the massive flood that flooded the town back in 1992. I think this is the 17th year, but Flint River Duck Festival, and what you do is you can go down, and it's quite a sight. Me and Jen went to the first time last year. It's quite a sight. You can buy a duck for $5, maybe like 3 for $10 or something like that, little rubber ducky. You know the drill. On the bottom, it has a number on it, and you get to keep the number. They write the number down and with your name on it and everything. And I'm not sure how many hundreds. It may get up into the thousands. But since I'm not sure, we'll say hundreds of tiny little rubber duckies, blue, green, red, white, yellow, purple, bay, all these colors. And right through town, there's a little river. And the Beaver Creek Duck Festival. And it's Beaver Creek, and it runs from one of the roads to the other of the roads in town. And they get on the bridge. And they blow the whistle, and people just dump hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these plastic little rubber duckies down off the bridge, smashing into the water, and then away they go. And then after they're all dumped in, then everybody walks all the way down. I guess it's called the, I would call it a dam, but it's, I can't remember what you call it. To keep the water off the river. Anyway, the levee, I guess. They walk all the way down the levee. You just see people just coming down, just like a big parade of people, and coming down towards the finish line. And then you just sit there and wait. And just sit there and wait. And then all of a sudden you'll hear your little child go, "I see them! I see them! They're coming!" And you know, it's the funniest thing I've just about ever seen. This rainbow of little plastic ducks. From riverbank to riverbank, floating down the river as the current flows, coming towards the next bridge through town. And it is the funniest thing. And a rainbow of ducks just coming down the river, bank, riverbank to riverbank. And then, of course, they have about 10 people in the river with these big, big nets catching them. They got the finish line. They have it stroked across the river. And then, of course, they gather the first one across, or maybe the first 10 across, and they get a prize. And the first one, they open and turn the number over. And then the last duck across actually gets a prize. So it's they gather them all up. They get all the numbers down, the winning numbers, and we head back over to the pavilion downtown. And a little bit later, they announce all the winners, the winning duck, the first 10 ducks, and then the last duck to cross the line. So that's tomorrow. And, yep, we'll be there. And, in fact, one more big exciting news. It's just been such an exciting week. Rabbits, chickens, irrigation. Tomorrow morning, really early, tomorrow morning, my good friend, farmhand Philip, and myself, we're going to be out in the garden, in the fall garden. We're going to be harvesting some turnip greens, putting them in some bags, putting some rubber bands around them, and selling some of our harvest. What a beautiful and wonderful day. What a beautiful and wonderful day. So it's going to be great. So already people are we've been getting orders since we put the garden in. And I want 5 bunches. I want 10 bunches. I want 3 bunches. You save me some bunches of them. So we're both going to sell them. I think we're going to load them up in the back of the pickup truck. Head into town to the Beaver Creek Duck Festival and find a good parking spot there. And we'll sell some turnip greens tomorrow, my friends. And then we'll come back up here and sit under the old oak tree on the downtown square here in Ideal and sell a few turnip greens as well. So the homestead is coming around. Coming around. Gotta love it. Cornbread, turnip greens, ham hock, little hot sauce. Oh, yeah, doesn't get any better than that. So, all righty. Well, that's what's going on in my world. Busy, busy, busy. It's now time, yep, you guessed it, to welcome my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and workshop speaker extraordinaire, and today, chicken correspondent on the ground at the Crossroads Poultry Show in Indianapolis, Indiana. Pat Foreman, are you there? Pat Foreman. She probably has her cell phone mute. Unmute yourself, Pat. Unmute.
I'm unmuted.
Hey, there we go. There we go. Now, howdy.
Whisper?
I'm here. How are you?
Oh, well, apparently this headset that I have isn't, I thought it was an upgrade, but it's not working. I got to tell you, I'm just holding the headsets in my hand here, but how's the sound check?
Sound check is just fine. We can tolerate that, no problem.
Okay, great. Well, I got to tell you, you're a wonderful storyteller. Andy, I could listen to your stories. Have you thought about maybe something like Prairie Home Companion, you know, just have the Chicken Whisperer Story Hour where you just tell these yarns? This is really a big weekend for you. I mean, this is a huge weekend for you. I hadn't realized that besides all of your livestock coming in, then you're going to be having your first profits from your market garden then, or from your kitchen garden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were just so excited. Everything is just coming into play. You know, the meat rabbits are here, and the meat chickens are here. And
yeah.
just the garden's producing lovely, and it's just God is good, and it's a beautiful day here. And yep, tomorrow we'll be harvesting early in the morning some of the turnip greens, bagging them up, rubber banding them up, pricing them.
Excellent. What are you going to charge for a bunch?
Right now, I think a rubber band bunch is going to be $3, and then
wow.
Actually, I went down to the Dollar General store yesterday. I had to pick up some batteries for a couple of Caleb's toys and their swings and stuff. And what was I going to say? I asked the manager there. I said, I got a bunch of turnips I got to harvest, and I was wondering if you could actually volunteer. I said, could I buy some of those big bags? You know, they're plastic bags. I know, not really good for the environment. But I said,
it's your only choice, really. I mean, that's.
Yeah, can I get some of these? And she said, sure, take all you want. So I got about four of these big things, groups or bunches of good advertising for them, I guess. Dollar. So basically, one big bunch rubber band together would be three, and then a bag, basically a grocery store plastic bag full of, I think, would be $5. So that's the game plan right now. And
so that's probably about a pound or 1 to 2 pounds, I would guess.
Yeah, I think
we're trying to be
competitive with the Piggly Wiggly and the other, but again, these have not been touched with any herbicides or pesticides, which is, and let me tell you, it's amazing. Even though organic eating down here in this rural country farm area is not quite like it is up in Atlanta with the Whole Foods and things, it's funny. I told Jen this yesterday. I said, I've had several people come up to me, and even Philip mentioned to me yesterday. He says, we're going to sell every bit of these turnip greens. In fact, all these collards, all these greens that you have, mainly because we've been fortunate. We haven't had any of the bugs or anything like that because they haven't been touched with any of these chemicals. And the people know. In fact, one guy came up to me the other day, and he says, I can't wait to get some of your greens because I know they haven't been sprayed with all this chemical, and I don't want to be too graphic on the radio, but it's interesting. They come up and say, because, you know, we eat them and they taste good and they're great, but because they've been treated with all that crap, they give us the runs. It upsets their tummy something terrible. I have had more people come up and tell me that. I can't wait to get yours because they've been untreated, and we can't find a lot of that around here, obviously, but I can't wait to get them because I can eat them knowing that they're not going to upset my tummy like all the others that I eat all these years. So they may not realize, say, ooh, I can't wait to get your organic, you know, whatever, or this, that, or the other, or the all-natural, the untreated, they're not going to the store running out buying all their organic food, but it's interesting how they know. What causes that? So they know the chemicals and the herbicides and the pesticides get absorbed in that leaf, and they've tracked it down, pinpointed that that's what causes the upset stomach after they eat the greens. And so I think they're just waiting for us.
What are we doing to our food?
I know, it's crazy.
You'll have a corner on the market there then.
I will. I will definitely have one, and it'll be right here local. You won't have to drive 8 miles, 10 miles down to the next store to get them. They'll be right here on the corner in the back of the old pickup truck. So Pat, that's enough about me. Let me tell you, you are our chicken correspondent up there in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Crossroads Poultry Show, the big ABA, APA National.
Yep.
With probably about 10,500 birds. That's just the birds that are there that have been registered to show, but there's probably another few thousand there that are for sale.
More. That's right. The swap area is huge. It's absolutely huge.
The question is, the chat room, they're wanting to know if you have so far just said no to bringing home any new chickens.
Oh, I'm not a no gal, you know. I can't go in there and not come back with some lucky little chicken, or some lucky little hen or rooster. So, no, I plan to bring one, maybe two back, sort of souvenirs from the big Crossroads show. And one of the things I like to do, Whisper, is get experience with the different breeds. So I'll probably choose, I don't know, one of the breeds that I haven't had before. And there's a lot. It's incredible how many breeds there are here. But it's huge. I mean, I walked in, and I don't think I'm going to be able to broadcast inside. One, because it is so loud inside. there are probably, three or 4,000 roosters among all those 10,000 birds, and maybe even more. But I keep losing my signal. In fact, I had to dial in, I don't know how many times, and it'd come in for just a minute, and then I'd get cut off. So I'm going to have a technical problem. I've got some guests lined up, but they're inside the arena, and again, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep a signal, and I'm not sure why. But,
well, when you walk in there, that's probably more than likely a metal structured building with a metal roof.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That right there is probably your culprit, because when we travel on the road, and in the past we've traveled a lot, that's the first thing we do when we go to a feed store or wherever we're going to actually broadcast, is we'll look when we pull up to see what kind of structure it's made out of, steel building, metal roof, tin roof, shingled roof, wood structure, whatever, because we can have 1,000 bars on our phone or on our laptop stick,
yep,
or whatever right outside the,
yep,
front door. We walk in and we have zero, and we get cut off because it just shields that signal based on us. So I am familiar with that, Pat.
Right.
Absolutely.
Once inside, people are getting calls inside, so maybe it's just getting through the entryway. I'll try it. I'll see if I can't get inside. When we take our break, I'll see if I can get it to call to go through. But you might just be me. I mean. I've got a great lineup. I've got what's interesting about this show, Whisper, that wasn't at the Lucasville or the Columbus, or probably at the ones that you've been to, is that most of the vendors are the poultry breed clubs. Each club has a table, and they've got representatives from their club, and they'll talk to you about the breeds that they've got, well, whatever breed it is. So I've got Melanie Canetra from the Dorkings. Just talk about those. We've got the SPPA and Brooding, Connie Richard, Dominique's, Tracy Rodenbach, Mike Gilbert with the Chanticleers. So anyway, they're all willing to sort of chat and tell about their experience and why Crossroads is such a big show, if I can get in with a signal. Oh, dear.
I got to tell you something. I'm not making fun, because we were all – it's so funny. I remember the days I couldn't tell you what anything was on a chicken. And I love it. Midnight in the chat room, Pat, she had a question. She said I was chasing down one of our chickens the other day, and I noticed there was some blood on its beak. And then her comment was it looked like it was coming from the decoration thingy that grows on the middle of her head.
I love it. Oh,
isn't that great? That is so. That's so cute, because I was like, you're talking about the comb? And then I put, sorry,
yeah,
never heard the comb called the decoration thing on top of a chicken's head. So, my goodness. No, we're not making fun of you. Midnight, we're not making fun of you. She's laughing. She says, I'm a chicken rookie, and I may not know much, but they are well taken care of. Oh, absolutely. We 100% are right there with you. I couldn't tell you the first thing about the combustion of an engine, for example, but somebody else who's a mechanic just, you know, what's that little thingy over there that that has the wires going to it, you know, whatever. So it's so funny. We're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you.
Oh, absolutely.
That little decoration thing on top of the chicken's head, the comb, and let me tell you, we have all been there. We have all been there.
I remember listening to some of the earlier shows, you know, when you invited me to join you on as a co-host, and the questions, the trivia questions, they were so basic, and neither of us knew the answers to some of them. So,
oh, man.
In the 2 to 3 years we've been doing this, we've come a long way.
Especially,
of course, there's a long way to go.
When Dr. McRae comes on and has the and runs the questions, it's like I'm very honest. I'll be like, okay, the answer is I know the answer because I have it emailed to me here. Oh my goodness! Yeah, if when in doubt, pick C, or look at the email Dr. McRae sent me with all the answers.
Right. Oh dear.
Gotta love it. The decoration thingy on top of the head. That is sweet. I love it. So
good description.
Absolutely. So tell us your story, Pat. When did you get there? Who was the first person you saw related to the show? You know, who have you seen that we all might know, we all might not know, we all might want to know? And just fill our ears.
So I got here, about an hour and a half ago, and of course it's in this big coliseum at the Indianapolis State Fairground, and at the same time there is the National Bunny Show, rabbits, is here, so they have it equally. I think there's something like 20 or 30,000 rabbits. It's their huge show, and theirs goes on through next week as well. So I walk in, and you're just, of course, struck with these huge number of cages, and they're double stacked of birds. All the different breeds all are going along, and there's just row upon row upon row. And if I can get in, we'll probably have to step outside just because the sound is so loud. But the first booth I see is the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They've got up here, and so that they've got set up. One of their goals this time at both this show and the Bunny Show is to get pictures. Jeanette's got this brand new camera, Jeanette Berger, and it's a really high, good camera. So she's got a little photo place set up, and she's going to be just photographing away all these different to get really good shots of the different breeds. And they plan to do that, of course, for all the livestock, cows, pigs, as well as chickens and rabbits.
Ask the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy while you're there if they've ever heard of a gobbly wobbly. Midnight in the chat room just said that Midnight in the chat room just said that she's always called the waddles the gobbly wobbly.
That's funny. I will ask Jeanette that. We'll have to have what we should do is get a list of chicken body parts and put the common name, you know, like the decoration thingy and the gobbly wobbly, and then the real name sort of.
That's a great idea. The decoration thing on the top of the head, the gobbly wobbly, and then I put in there that Pat, I had to call you on this. I put Pat has often quoted in and on the radio show that her rooster's waddles hang low.
And they waddle when they walk.
Do you remember that radio show, Pat?
That was a long time ago. I do remember that. That caused some gasps, I think, at the time. But
yes, it did. Yes. Oh, that was so funny.
Yes. Yes. But the little Buck Forfingtons, his little waddles are very, very low hung. Yeah. They get lower as they get older, too.
Oh, my goodness.
So there are some very magnificent decoration thingies and waddles here different shapes.
Are you saying that chickens go through the same sagging process as us humans do as they get older? It's like, are your knees swollen?
Well, I don't know. Most chickens don't live long enough, I think, to go through the saggy phase. But I know my face is sagging. I can tell the difference as I'm going on. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. I will ask some of the breeders that. I'll ask some of the old-time breeders if, indeed, the chicken body parts sag the way people just do and just get expert opinions on them. I know their feathers droop. Their feathers can start to droop a little bit. Oh, what fun. What a hoot. Yeah. So, of course, this show goes on for 3 days, and there are already the parking lot's jammed, even though it's Friday. It's kind of a work day. Saturday will be most of the club meetings. And Whisper, I'm going to go to as many of the club meetings as I can. I'm picking up the schedules, especially the ones I'm interested in, just to learn and meet some of the folks. I was at one of the Moran Club meetings in Lucasville, and that was really interesting. So there's quite a few clubs here. It's great fun. Is there any particular question you'd like me to ask when I go back in?
Who are you going to be talking to first, you said?
Well, if I have a signal,
if you have a signal.
That's a big if right now.
Right.
Let me get my list here. I've got the Dorking Club. I've got the SPPA. I'm going to ask them some questions about. In fact, I've got my brooding questionnaire survey that I'm going to ask people that have used broody hens and are experts in it. It's part of the research for the book, The Way of the Hen, that's coming up. Dorking's, yep. SPPA. I've got the Dominiques. I've got the Chanticleers. And well, I've got gobbly wobbly.
Yeah, I was going to say we can ask them if they've ever heard the official, and that's tell them that's the official Latin term is the gobbly wobbly. They may not have heard the official Latin term for waddles. Just let them know that we've done some research. We found some old stone scrolls, and we found the Latin term for waddle is the wobbly gobbly. Yep, and then and also the old Latin term for that, the comb, is the decoration thingy.
Well, it goes back in history. I mean, that decoration thingy you see on Romans, they had that little big crown crest thing on their helmets, and the church would imitate roosters and the hens with their sort of headdresses. And so it's interesting how people have kind of mimicked chickens and chicken plumage and decoration thingies. Throughout our history.
Hey, Bard Rock said that he's going to start a collection for your Buff Orpington to get waddle reduction surgery.
Oh dear. He's pretty attached to those waddles. That's sure he wants it. When some men, as they age, they get this dignified kind of stern look, and it kind of gets the younger roosters out of their way. So he's pretty attached to his waddles. I don't think I'd want to do that for him.
All righty.
And he's very handsome. So handsome in his old age.
If you go and see the Dorkings, or maybe if there's a Chanticleer club or whatever, you can tell us. You know, we'd love to hear about the different the types of that breed. Maybe they come in this. You know, they come in buff. They come in. You know, the different types of the breed. What's the most popular? What's the most rare? Of course, we'd like to hear a little bit about that. Any recent projects or big projects that the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy is currently working on. They've done so much with the Buckeye and other breeds that, you know, if there are any projects that they're working on that we'd like to know about. And maybe, like I said, you could talk to a breeder there, maybe even a vendor. In fact, maybe you could pinpoint Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, is there, I believe. So
He's here. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what I'll need to do is, I know I won't be able to get through the door without losing a signal, so I'll have to try to call you back from inside.
Okay, that'll be just fine. I will do a little tap dance here to keep our listeners entertained, and then you just go ahead and try to give us a call back. Again, we are at the liberty of the techno gods, folks, and believe me, I have been at liberty to those on the Chicken Whisperer tour. And when we travel around, it's just, it can get very frustrating. So we're going to try our best to see what we got. And so Pat's going to go in and see if she can't get a signal somewhere inside of the poultry show. If she can't, she'll come back outside, call us, and tell us, hey, sorry, I have absolutely zero signal. And then we'll just we'll see everybody on Monday. But maybe she will get lucky. And
I will do my best. At least my battery is charged this time, so I've got I'm all charged up with that area. So.
Very, very good. All righty. And when you get in, don't forget to start asking around about gobbly wobblies. And
and decoration thingies.
Yes, decoration thingies, absolutely. And we will just call us back. I'll be looking at the switchboard for your call.
Okay, we'll be there shortly. Bye.
Sounds like a plan, Pat. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com. VermexUSA.com. To see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Woo! It's getting a little crazy in the chat room. Alrighty, let me get over here. It looks like Pat must have a signal. We'll see what quality signal she has here in about 3 seconds. 2, 1. And she's back. I hear her giggling.
Okay, well, can you hear me at all otherwise?
I can hear you pretty good. We can make out what you're saying.
Okay, does the background sound too overwhelming?
I don't really hear anything in the background, Pat.
Oh, wow. This is supposed to be a directional speaker. Maybe it'll work out. Okay. Well, let's see how it goes. Well, I'm standing here with Ryan Walker. He's with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, a relatively new member on the staff. But, Brian, can you hear me okay? And how are you doing over there? Can you hear him, Whisper?
No. Is he calling in from a line?
Yes, he's calling in from his cell phone.
What's the area code?
940.
Got him.
Area code 940.
He's live as well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to see everybody.
Okay, great. You know, that's loud and clear. Yeah. Well, Ryan, your booth looks really great here. It's the first thing you see when you walk in the front door. Here's Dunette just came out. But tell us what, why this show and what you hope to achieve with it.
Yeah, we've got the table set up. We're here at the show. We just want to get the word out about our organization. We've also got a photo booth, which is a big hit with everyone. We're taking pictures to document some of these rare breeds, and we're also selling some merchandise. We've got some free stuff to give out, and if anybody wants to sign up, then I invite everybody to come over and take a look.
Yeah, well, this photo booth is pretty elaborate. It almost looks like a lounge in a way. It's got this sort of lacy front to it, and then nice little baroque fabric on the inside. So, and then what? How many breeds do you think you'll photograph here?
I think we're probably expecting a couple hundred different breeds. We've got chickens, and we're going to do different types of poultry and. In a few days, I think we're going to take a few pictures of rabbits, too.
Yeah, so you're going to move your booth over to the rabbit show?
Yes. We're going to, I think we're here through Sunday, and then it's a little bit later, so we're going to move over there later on.
Excellent. Okay. And then hopefully this will generate a lot of memberships, because as people, especially with the heritage chicken breeds that are hot, I mean, as a chicken movement is sweeping America, these breeds are all coming into focus. So hopefully this will be a lot of good publicity for the American Livestock Breed Conservancy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we're hoping for. And we've had tons of people over at the tent this morning, so it looks like we've had a pretty good turnout so far.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, was there any questions for Ryan?
Looking in the chat room, are they working on any projects recently, like for particular breeds? Like the Buckeye they were working on or any of that right now? Any particular chicken projects?
Yes, our Java project is going pretty well. We're working with several different breeders. We were recent, a couple of weeks ago, we were out at Stephen Moy's place testing, taking some blood and sending it off to Virginia Tech for them to do a little research on it for us. And it seems to be going well. I think we've talked to a few different breeds who are interested. They've seen the success of some of our other programs, and they're kind of wanting to get in on it as well. So things seem to be going pretty well with the technical side of stuff.
Wow. And Ryan, is this one of the first shows that the ALBC has been to, the first poultry shows, or is this a regular thing for you guys to go to the big national shows?
We have been in the past. This is, I think it's been a couple of years possibly since we've been, but now that we've got, I guess now that we have the manpower and the staff to do it, we're more easily able to come to the shows. So we've got four staff members out here, Jeanette Behringer, Allison Martin, and myself. So we're all here at the show for the next, about a week. We'll be here for about a week.
Yeah, and that includes, of course, the rabbit shows and all the heritage breeds of rabbits, which we might have to get you some heritage bunnies, just to help support them. I'm sure they'll be tasty as well as fuzzy.
Gotta love it. Yeah, I know the largest rabbit show's up there as well. And, Pat, I know you're going to be interested. There's, on the same fairgrounds there's, again, this large poultry show, 10,000-plus birds. There's this huge rabbit show with tens of thousands of rabbits. And then also on the same grounds, there's a gun show. There's a gun show there this weekend.
Hold on, there's an announcement. We can hear a thing here. Did that come through, that announcement? It's like a train going by.
I heard it in the background, but I didn't hear what they were saying. They were probably announcing that there is also a gun show there this weekend.
Well, the state fairgrounds does have gun shows. Guns are very popular here in Indiana.
Yep, there's a gun show there. No kidding, I saw it advertised as a gun show there at the same fairgrounds. So you can get your rabbits, your chickens, your guns, and your ammo, and all will be fine in life.
Oh, God. You forgot the Band-Aids and beans. So,
beans.
Beans and Band-Aids show. Well, of course, the American Livestock Breeding Conservancy says the way to preserve the heritage breed is to eat them, not shoot them so much, but eat them. So that's part of giving them a job and a reason for being. You know, otherwise they're just exhibits in zoos, as Temple Grandin would say. So, okay, well, right, any last comments you'd like to say on the Chicken Whisperer Talk Show? And
what was that? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
Oh, any comments that you'd like to say about the ALBC or your experience here for our listeners on the talk show?
Yeah, like I said, I'm relatively new. I am the new membership services manager, so I'm going to be handling new members and helping people get their membership registered. I've really enjoyed my time so far with the organization. We've got a national conference coming up in Wichita, Kansas, November 11th and 12th. That if anybody wants to stop by there and see us, you know, we would more than like to see you there. We'll be at the Sedgwick County Zoo. So we're going to have some zoo stuff going on. We've got pre-conference clinics, all kinds of stuff going on at the conference. And registration looks pretty good this year, so we're really excited about that.
How many people do you have signed up so far?
I believe... as far as I know, I believe it's over 100, but I haven't seen the – we've been out of the office for the past couple of days, so I haven't seen the latest figures.
Well, that's excellent. Well, and I'll be there as well during the workshop on how heritage chickens can help save the world, which I am becoming to believe more and more that they do have a place in a sustainable future. So, okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on then, and – we've been talking with Ryan. I just lost my notes. The American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So,
yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
What I'm going to do now is, if you could tap dance a little bit, go over and get to the Dorking Club and just see what they're doing. And again, Ryan, thank you so much. So you keep talking. Help me get them set up so we can go.
That sounds like a plan. I'm going to put you on mute here just for a second. Yep, I'll put you on mute, and then when you get over to the Dorking Club, then we'll talk to them about their breed and what all different types that they've got there and what they're doing there, and if they have any freebies for anybody that's there. So how cool is that? So Pat is broadcasting live on location in Indianapolis, Indiana at the Crossroads Poultry Show. And there's also on the same fairgrounds there, a huge, one of the largest, well, the largest rabbit show in the country. And a gun show too. So get your rabbits, your chickens, and your guns all in one trip over the weekend. So head on out there and have some fun. And have some fun. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room that's joining us today. We got Allison, and we've got B.A., Bard Rock, Bard Rock's wife. We've got Carmen is in there, Dragon Fryer. We've got East Dallas Dave, Farm John Boy. We got Grover. Several guests. We'd love for you guests to take a moment to register. Just scroll down a little bit on your computer screen, and at the bottom of the chat room, you'll see Register with Blog Talk Radio. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you, too, could come on in and participate in the chat room. Jesse's in there. Kevin's in there from Bakersfield. We've got Midnights, and Pamela Duffy's in there. Welcome back, Pamela. And Ralph, Rhode Island Ruby, USMC vet, and Vanessa is all in the chat room. And we appreciate you listening live today on Blog Talk Radio. And join us, guests. Don't be scared. I know it can get a little scary there in the chat room with some of the people that are in there. But, hey, come on. It'll be fun. And uh, Yep, they're all very nice, and some great friends have been made in the chat room. So there you go. I do want to send a shout out to a good friend, longtime listener, very active in the chat room, and that's Kara. Kara joins us quite frequently in the chat room, and we do have some sad news. Her mother passed away, from my understanding, looking at the Facebook page and her Facebook posts, and she's having a quite hard time with it. Many of my long time listeners or regular listeners know that I lost my mom about 2 years ago. And, of course, canceled the radio show for about a week or so while I dealt with that. But I lost my mom unexpectedly as well about 2 years ago. And many of us have lost moms or dads and know. So we want to send our prayers and a little shout out to our good friend, Kara, who is going through a tough time now with the loss of her mom, according to the post that we've seen on Facebook. So prayers are being sent out. All righty, let's get back over here to the switchboard. Pat, are you there? Pat Foreman. I hear something in the background. It kind of sounds like an old Model T Ford engine. Pat Foreman, I got you live here. What is that noise in the background? We're laid back here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, especially when we're having to deal with technical issues. Pat Foreman. Okay, I'll put her back on mute. Oh, no, my goodness. So, okay, I went back over here to the switchboard, and it looks like we have lost Pat altogether. So again, technical issues. The poultry show is in a metal building. Rephrase that. It's in a steel building with a tin roof. Looks like she's called in. Let's see what kind of service and sound we get now. Earth platform.
Okay, yeah, Andy, I'm here inside, and we're in a little alcove that has a little bit of an echo to it, but how's it coming through?
Oh, no, we don't hear any echo. We feel fine. We hear a little pinging in the background. It almost sounds like a Model T engine running. Click, 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 click. But it's not bothering me at all. We can hear you perfectly fine, sir.
I have no idea what that is. Okay, well, I've got Mike Gilbert is on the line. He's at area code 608.
Yep, and he's on live now.
Okay, so Mike, you're live. And
all right,
Mike is our national Santa Clara expert. He's the one that bred Oprah Henfrey and that I got last year at the Nationals when I got the Santa Clara. So, Mike, if you could just tell us a little bit about the club and how it's evolved over the last year or so, and what you hope to see happen in the future.
Okay. Well, basically, we saw that the Santa Clara breed was kind of being neglected in the United States and Canada, except for the French-speaking area of Canada. So we started a club to promote the breed. We called it Santa Clara Fanciers International, and this started up in late 2007. This is now our second national meet we've held. The last one was 2010 in Michigan. We had over 100 entries there, and we have our second national meet this weekend here in Indianapolis. We've got around 100 entries between bantams and large fowl.
Wow.
There are white, partridge, and buff. in both large fowl and bantams represented here.
Well, now the buffs aren't recognized yet with the APA. Is that right, Mike?
That is correct. The buffs, that's one of our goals that we started the club for, is to eventually have the buff variety recognized, both in large fowl and in bantams. And so we're working toward that goal. It's a lengthy process. You have to have at least 5 breeders who certify they've bred the variety for at least 5 years. And then you have to have a qualifying meet where there's at least 50 birds of that variety shown in all classes, hens, cockerels, and pullets. And then if you're going to do the same for bantams, it's the same thing for them. So,
right.
And then there's a $250 fee with the American Poultry Association. Of course, that's subject to change at any time. But, yeah, and in the process, the buffs are not our only goal. We're striving to improve the partridge. There's some very good whites out there, although not a lot in the United States. There's some very good ones in Canada, of course, where they originated. But we're getting some good whites now in the United States as well.
Right.
Rattling on here, but if you've got any questions, just break in and stop me.
Yeah. Well, now, this is the whisper, as we've talked about before on the show, that the recovery of the Chanticleers is an amazing story, and it's happened since 1950s, where I think that breed was thought to be extinct. Is that right, Mike?
I'm sorry, because of the echo, I couldn't hear the
question. Yeah, but in a relatively short time, the breed was thought to have gone extinct, and then within about 60 years, it's made an amazing comeback because of breeders like Mike and those in Canada. So,
I've only been involved with the breed probably 7 or 8 years now. The club has only been going since 2007, so that's only 4 years old. We're up to about 85 members in the United States and Canada, and we're growing. Every quarter we see an increase in membership of 8, 10, 12 different new memberships, and we've gained memberships here at the show as well. So it's a growing club, and it's a very worthy breed. It was developed by Brother Wilfred Chatelain up in Quebec, Canada. He worked on the breed for about 14 years and had it admitted as a breed. The American Poultry Association recognized the breed in 1921. And then another fellow in Canada, Dr. Wilkinson, developed a very similar fowl, which he was calling the Albertan, but which became eventually admitted in 1935 as the Partridge variety of Chanticleer. And then the buffs, they were originally developed in Canada and by a fellow from New York or Pennsylvania. I forget his name right now, but he developed a strain of buffs. And several hatcheries are selling these buffs, but they need some work yet to come up to meet all the breed qualifications, the type primarily. We have very good color in them, but they still need some work on tightening up the feather and just making them look like the whites, which is really the original and the standard we go by.
Right. Wow, that's really fascinating, Mike. Okay, Whisper, do you have any more questions for Mike Gilbert? He's our Chanticleer expert here at the Nationals.
Ask him about how rare the buff Chanticleers you have are still.
Did you hear that, Mike?
No, I could not hear that.
How rare the buff Chanticleers are? About how many breeding pairs are there, or how many are there in the world?
Well, I don't have a census population, but I do know that hatcheries sell a lot of them, but they're not really, most of them are not really the good ones. You know, they would do well in a show. They're very good utility birds. You know, they lay nice brown eggs. And
they do. Uh-huh.
They have a nice appearance, but they still need some work. So it depends on what you mean by Chanticleer. the ones that meet all aspects of the standard or the ones that hatcheries are selling?
If you mean the ones
that hatcheries are selling, there's a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
Buff Adams, on the other hand, is extremely rare. There's only one pair here in the show. Those are mine. I'm not surprised. Using other breeds, just like Brother Wilford did with the whites.
Nice. Okay. Whisper, any other questions?
That's going to wrap it up for on this end.
Okay. Well, listen,
I got a real treat here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. I'll be right over. And I've got a real treat here. I'm going to give her my phone while I go say thanks to Mike. This is, and you're in the, and what's the chat? There's your chat room name. Oh, this is Heather Radovich. She's from the chat room. One of our regulars on there. Yeah, so hey, I'm going to give her my phone, and then I'll be right back in just a short while. So let's just chat with Heather if we like.
Hey, Heather, how you doing? I saw that picture you posted on the CW Facebook page this morning.
I cannot believe how many birds are here. It's just absolutely crazy. I could stay the night here, and I could sleep underneath the tables with all the chickens, and I would be so happy.
What do your two young ladies think of it?
Oh, you know, they're pointing things out. They want to take them all home. I have my youngest one is my actual little chicken farmer in training, and, of course, she's loving them all. The other one, Lucy, she's almost eight, and she wants nothing to do with any of it. So, of course, she's ready to go.
Oh, so the 8-year-old doesn't want to have anything to do with any of the chickens.
Yeah. And the 5-year-old is, can we get this one? Can we get that one? That one looks like ours, blah, blah, blah. So I was, I've hit up, I spent way too much money. I've bought a new chicken water and some probiotics and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm looking to bring home something new, but a lot of the stuff is already sold. I will see a chicken that I've got to have, and I go over, and he's got a little sold sign on him, so unfortunately.
Oh.
But I've got my eye on a Polish black with the white head. I don't know what they call them. Anyway, so yeah, sure. I'm in heaven. I kind of wish I wouldn't have brought the kids because then I could stay all day. They're not gonna let me stay all day.
So have you gone over and seen? It sounds like you got some probiotic. Did you go and see Peter Brown?
I did. Is he here?
Yes, Peter Brown is there, the chicken doctor. He is there. He probably has about 8 tables all in a row.
Maybe that's who I bought everything off of. I forgot that Peter Brown is, which is company. It's vets of, you know, I miss him. I've got to go over there now.
Yeah, First State Vet Supply, and he's got a big, huge banners on the front. In fact, you'll see my logo on his banner as well, because it has, you know,
here. I completely missed it. There are so many things here, and I thought I had hit everyone up, but I've got to go back around because I've got to find him.
Will you make sure you go by and tell them that you listen to them on the radio show for us?
This one will probably answer you. Okay, good. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I'll give you back to Pat.
All righty. Thank you. Good to
talk
with you.
I really wish you were here, but I understand Indiana's kind of a boring place, so. Yeah. Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Whisper.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish you were here, too. We would have so much fun. Now, I've got two young little poultry pioneers here. Is this their first show? It's their first show. Do you want to ask them a question?
Are they showing there, actually?
Do you have any birds to show here? No, they're not yet, but that's coming up next year. What's your name?
Stella.
Stella. Okay, this is Stella. I'm going to take off my bed here. So this is Stella, and Stella, what kind of birds do you have?
We
have to take the sucker out of her mouth. Hold on.
It's silky.
Yes, silky.
It's silky?
And
a
buff chicken.
You like your chicken?
Yes. Yes.
She is so adorable. Do you want to come home with me? No.
says yes. He says, oh, I want my sucker back. Oh, dear. Okay. Thank you, Heather. Okay. Whisper, can you hear me? Am I still alive?
You're alive.
Okay. There's a lot of kids here. It's pretty inspiring to have so many kids here. Okay. Whisper, how are we doing on time? Where are we at?
We've got about 15 minutes left, and they're still wondering in the chat room if there are any experts there, any PhDs, poultry scientists, that can verify wobbly gobblies.
Let me see if I can find, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy could do that. Let me get over to the turkey section. I haven't even seen the turkeys yet. But wobbly gobblies, I'm on a wobbly gobbly mission. So hold on, here's an announcement. Okay, I'm going to head back to the Society for the Protection of Poultry Antiquities booth, and I'm sure if anyone knows about wobbly gobblies, it would be them.
Is Christine there?
No. She has a journalist convention, environmental journalist convention, the same time. So I'm happy to meet her in California, though.
How far are you away from Peter Brown, the chicken doctor?
Let me find his booth. I don't know. This place is so big. It's like a Walmart with feathers. It's so big. Oh, my gosh. There's some huge cushions. These black cushions are the size of little donkeys. They're gigantic. Oh, my God. Okay. There's the Nankins. So let me get to SPPA. Remember, our good friend Shirley, Elaine, I think, Elaine Shirley's here. And there's the Jersey Giant, the Belgian Donkey. Oh, my. There's the Brown Leghorn Club is here.
Nice.
Waterfowl Breeders. You'd think I would be running out of exhibits, but it keeps going on. And then the show. I don't see Peter yet. So.
I know he's there.
Yep, we know he's there. He was supposedly going to head out to. Here's some nice coops for sale for $35. Let me check in with the.
Did you say coops for $35?
Yeah. You want me to pick you up one? Nice wire cages.
Ah, okay. But not a big chicken coop. What a
deal. No, but they're the wire cages there.
They're saying in the chat room that you are in chicken heaven right now. They can hear it in your voice.
Well, it is amazing. I mean, they're just beautiful. I mean, I can just walk up and down these rows and my heart just starts beating. Here's a silver waist Wyandotte that is so stunning with a pencil on it. Oh, it's just beautiful. Anyway, I can get lost up with these cages. But let me talk. Here's the SPPA meeting. And hold on, just a second. We need to get set up. Can you give me 3 minutes?
Sure, 3 minutes,
okay.
Not a problem.
I'm going to put me on. I'm going to mute me. Hold on.
You're going to mute me. Okay.
I'm going to mute me.
Wait. Did you say that there was a mutiny there at the chicken show? There's a mutiny going on?
No mutiny. Just a lot of noise in the background.
Okay.
Hold on.
I think she's going to mute me. All righty. We'll go to a commercial break and pay honor to our sponsors while she's doing that. Stay with us, folks. Pat is broadcasting live on location on the ground at the Crossroads Poultry Show in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs
with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Oh, yeah!
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, Pat, we are back live, and you are live as well, too.
Okay, great, thanks. If you would bring on area code 419, on the other line is Craig Russell. And Craig is with the Dorkings as well as the SPPA, American Society for Protection of Poultry Antiquities, and just a guy that knows a tremendous lot about birds. So, Craig, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, although I hear a lot of birds in the background.
Yeah, how's the sound check there, Whisper?
Yeah, y'all can hear all that background noise. We do not. It sounds just fine.
Oh, wonderful.
Very good.
Okay. Great, great. Well, Craig, tell us a little bit about the Dorkings. This is a breed that I think is going to be coming up more to the foreground because we're starting to talk with heritage institutions, including Monticello's coming up, and certainly the Missouri Botanical Garden, about having heritage flocks of the time of Jefferson. And, of course, the Dorkings and the Nankins and the Dominiques were among those. So it's a pretty important breed. How did you get involved with it?
I'm actually having trouble hearing some of that, but if we're talking about Dorkings, I can certainly talk about that, or Dominiques, but...
either one would be fine.
Dorkings are one of the oldest Western breeds, and there's actually a connection with the Dominiques. I've recently heard people suggest that maybe the Cuckoo Dorking was developed from the Dominique. Not true. There's a lot of hawk-colored or cuckoo-colored fowl in Europe, and a variety of those, probably including Cuckoo Dorkings, were used in developing the Dominique. At least some of them were the old French cuckoos, although they probably did not dominate the development of that particular breed. The old-time Dorking breeders I knew growing up were always kind of amused that some people called Cuckoo Dorkings Dominique Dorkings. They were both irritated and amused because they thought that Yorkies were the originators and that Dominiques were actually kind of mongrel Yorkies. Some of the very old Dominique varieties actually had white legs. It was after the Javas came to this country that they were crossed to make them a little bigger, and it gave them yellow legs.
Wow. Well, listen, that's really interesting. But let me ask you more of a personal question here now, Craig.
Yes.
How many? I'm sure you've been to a lot of poultry shows. What's the magic in it that keeps you coming back? What do you find personally so satisfying that keeps you coming to these shows?
Well, you never see a perfect bird, but sometimes you come close. And also the people keep me coming back. There are probably some nasty people raising chickens, but generally it's a very good group, whether it's the turkey breeders or the chicken breeders or the waterfowl people. It's a nice group of people, a common interest, and I have a dual major, history and biology, and it sort of comes together in poultry. The SPCA was set up to preserve the old historic breeds, although over time we've become the champions of all rare poultry.
Right. Okay, well, that's great. I tell you, first of all, I've got one more person lined up, and that'll probably take us to the home finish there, and that's
yes.
Tim Parker. Tim, if you come, just hand the phone over there to Tim. This is Tim Parker, and he's also with the SPPA and the Yorkies and knows a tremendous amount about all the breeds. Tim, tell us, what are some of the magic moments for you at these poultry shows? What keeps you coming back year after year?
I think some of the things I like the most is the people that you meet here. You can make some lifelong friends, and just some really good conversations with preserving and protecting these breeds that we love. So I think that's definitely my favorite, just the people.
So you tend to see people from all across the country and maybe even Canada as well, year after year, huh?
Yes, year after year we have them coming from Canada. Last year, when we had our big show, we had members from the Dorking Club come from England and the Netherlands as well. So
wow.
The club is branched out to where we actually cover 9 different countries now. So we've really made like the not only lifelong friends here in the States, but throughout the world.
Wow, that's the same Dorking Club is international. This is like Dorking International.
Well, our club isn't international itself, but we kind of like have sister associations. So if they send us newsletters and information, we do the same. So that way we know exactly what's going on in Australia right now. You know, they're going into their summer and spring, and, we're going into our winter and our fall. So it's interesting to be able to, connect and find out what everybody around the world is doing.
And what got you into poultry to start with? I mean, obviously it's a strong part of your life. How did you? What's the allure, the draw for you?
I saw some chickens when I was 5 years old, and I just thought they were the most fascinating things in the world. And then when I was little, somebody told me at one time that chickens were descendants from dinosaurs. And when you're a little kid and you love dinosaurs, you're thinking, I have a living dinosaur. So that's kind of what sparked my interest in it. But as I've gotten older, I've grown to love the fact that there are so many different colors. You can pick one kind of chicken and you can put just about any kind of color on it if you know genetics and how to do it. So just the fact that you can sit out on a sunny day and watch a little mother hen with 10, 12 little chicks. It's relaxing, it's therapeutic. Other than feed costs, I really can't think of a drawback on raising poultry.
Nice. It is therapeutic. I never get tired of watching my chickens. And I even look forward to the chores just going out because they're so gentle, they come up and so anyway, it's the charm of Chickens Whisper. We know that. Yeah. Any questions? Any questions for our special guest here, Tim Parker?
Not from the chat room. I'm looking at the chat room now, and don't think so. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Tim. We really appreciate you coming on the Chicken Whisperer Backyard Culture and Sustainable Lifestyles Talk Show, and I'll chat with you after the show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Alrighty, Pat. Hey, thank you very much, Pat, for taking time out of the busy and fun-filled day there. And be sure to go by and tell Peter Brown that we all said hello, and tell him that wish we could be there. And you've got to make sure, and you've got to tell us now on Monday. Now we got a big show Monday, Pat. This coming Monday, we're giving away that chicken coop from My Pet
That's
Chicken.
Right.
So some lucky listener is going to win that chicken coop this Monday, and we all on Monday are going to be waiting to hear what breed of chickens you brought home from the show.
Well, I tell you, Whisper, there is a raffle on a pair of chocolate Orpingtons. I was thinking about getting a ticket because remember on the Big Bird, they sold for $1,500 a pair.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll give you one for Christmas if I win. Oh, dear.
That's one.
Yeah, chocolate Orpington. Oh, dear, yeah. Okay, well, that's about it from here, then.
Okay.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose the signal any second, so I'm just standing still.
Well, go ahead and take us away, Pat. We miss you when you do that, so go ahead and just take us away.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, of course, thanks to all our chat room chickeners. And I got to say here, thanks to all these clucking and crowing birds behind me, these 2,000 or 3,000 birds that are here. Where would we be without our chickens? And, of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. And thanks to Indianapolis and the State Fairgrounds for hosting us today here in this huge pavilion with poultry just everywhere, actually poultry and supplies and people and happy people with chickens in their arms, and it couldn't get any better. I'm Pat Foreman, and on behalf of you, may the flock be with you. Close the chicken evermore. God bless everybody.